Right. We're good to go.
Cheers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's CCG call, whether we should see. Today we're joined by Andrea, who's going to be presenting on post-quantum cryptography for verifiable credentials. And before I get into that, I'll just run through the admin items. So first up, code of ethics and professional conduct. Just treat everyone with respect. Let's continue to make these calls in this community a welcoming, friendly, collaborative environment for us all. I think we do a great job, but it's always good to keep that top of mind. Next, IP note. So anyone is welcome to participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to CCG work items must be members of the CCG with all IPR agreements signed. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out to any of the chairs. We'll be happy to. In the right direction. Brief call notes. So these are recorded through and transcribed through Jitsi, and the minutes and archive is available online. Let us know if you need help finding them. Finally, introductions or reintroductions. Does anyone like to say hello to the community today who hasn't said hello in a while or is new? You're welcome to jump off mute and say hi. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, not hearing or seeing anyone, so I will move on. Announcements and reminders. So does anyone have any announcements or reminders for the community today? Okay. Also not seeing anyone, which is unusual, but great. We can move straight into the content. Finally, I don't think there are any, but does anyone have any progress or updates on CCG work items they'd like to share? Okay. So there was one item that we wanted to discuss, right, Mahmood and Harrison, and that was about the website. I don't know if we're ready to share this fully with the group yet, but as the new chairs, we've been looking into, like, the, you know, like the tool suite that we use in our website and everything, all that entails. And I think we're leaning towards moving away from our current website towards the CC, towards the W3C's website. So I will just share. We currently have two websites, right? There's this website, which is maintained by the W3C, generated by the W3C. Maybe we have less control over it. And there's another website, which I'm just trying to bring up. I think it's here. So it's this website, and the problem when we're looking over this website is a problem always with websites, right? It's like keeping these things up to date, maintaining them, making sure they're in sync. And currently this website, the last website that I just linked, the W3C-CCG, is probably beneficial because it's more editable. We have more control over it, but also it's really out of date. I don't know if it's that useful to us. So I mean, the chairs tentatively think we should look towards sunsetting this website in favor of trying to maintain just one website under the W3C, seeing if we can get that website more up to date with like active work items, stuff like that. So if anyone has any comments or questions or concerns, maybe jump on the queue. But that's our initial thoughts. Harrison.
Yeah, just want to add that we also have the GitHub. So the proposal is to deprecate the GitHub.io, not the GitHub website. So after we do that, then we'll consolidate all the content to the W3C community website and also the GitHub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Mahmoud. Yeah, so we're still exploring this because obviously we'd need to figure out exactly how easy it would be for us to update this credentials website under the w3.org domain. But we feel like that's a better path for us. Okay. I just wanted to let people know where we're thinking of going. Once we have a clearer idea, we'll probably come back to the group. Final calls for any announcements or updates before we hand over to Andrea? Kalia.
Hi. The usual updates for me, just so if folks haven't been around, they hear them. We have the JID on Conference Africa happening in Cape Town, February 18th to 20th. We have DICE Ecosystems, which is just 2 days focused on, and really for anybody in Europe building, actively building ecosystems to kind of weave them together and share best practices around that. That's March 4th and 5th in Zurich. IIW number 40 in Mountain View happening April 8th to 10. And then if you're doing any Fediverse distributed social network stuff, Johannes and I have the Fedi Forum April 1 and 2. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Claire. Okay. Not seeing anyone else. Harrison, did you?
Yeah, I just want to quickly do a preview of what's coming. So next week we'll have Hadrian to talk about Solid. He came from Europe, Imram, and then also work on the Solid with Tim Berners-Lee. So we'll talk about Solid. It will be more of a Q&A format as opposed to presentations. So that's what's coming to next week. And then the week after that, we'll have Drummond to talk about Global Acceptance Network. I think they changed the name recently, but I forgot what that new name is. And then the week after that, we'll have the Mike Prorok to our former co-chair to talk about the Trade Verify. And then lastly, just want to quickly note that we'll have another open forum and work item updates on March 11th. So we'll start probably reaching out to the different work item leaders in about 2-3 weeks to kind of get all the updates in so that we can have those conversations on March 11th. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Harrison. Okay, with that, over to you, Andrea.
Okay, do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me just share the screen, and if you can confirm that you can see my slides, then we'll start.
Can see your slides.
Okay. Do you see them? Good. Okay. So, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me. This is my really first time in W3C in this community group. So it's a pleasure for me to present part of the work that we are doing in the framework of the Qubit project. It is an European funded project that deals with the transition to post-quantum cryptography of different systems. For sure, verifiable credential and the centralized identity is one of them. Let me start with background information. So, for sure, the quantum computer is a major revolution, paving the way for new discovery. But, of course, there is one small problem. And the small problem that once we reach a cryptographically relevant quantum computer, that means a quantum computer with enough number of qubits and also stable qubits, this computer will break most of the cryptography used to secure internet today, in particular asymmetric cryptography. How can we mitigate such a threat? Of course, by transitioning to post-quantum cryptography. This process, in my opinion, is made by two different activities, synergy activities. For sure, the cryptographers that are defining new class of algorithms based on a set of hard problems, which should be immune to quantum computer, and then the engineers that are integrating these post-quantum algorithms in protocol, network, and system. Of course, ensuring crypto agility, pliability, and possibly using hybrid scheme. So at this point, it should be clear that what I'm going to present is, let's say, the second step of the process, because QBP is made by a consortium essentially of engineers that are working on this transition. What I mean for cryptagility, for sure the ability to reconfigure software by plugging new algorithms without extensive code refactoring. Pliability is a property that we define in the project, that is, the transition must be aligned with network management best practice. We cannot change everything in few days. Support established network services and be integrated through standardized approaches. As I told you before, it's also important, and we will see how we are dealing with the post-quantum traditional hybrid scheme that combine both post-quantum and traditional algorithm in single cryptographic scheme, such that the scheme is secure as long as the security of one of the algorithms hold. What the situation? NIST released three important standards, FIPS 203, 204, and 205, essentially covering CAMS and digital signature. And one more is expected, FIPS 206. This will be the name built around the Falcon submission. It is also another possible standard in few months. But as you all know, the NIST launched also a new call for algorithms that should be based on different hard problem, with not only lattice base as the standards, but also on other different problems, like, for example, multivariate, symmetric base, isogeny base, and others. You see here in blue ball the one that, let's say, passed the first step and are now under consideration, evaluation, and review in the NIST process. So this is the situation. These are the algorithms that we have at our disposal, and now I would like to see how we can use those algorithms in the specific case of verifiable credential. Just few more important information regarding the transition to post-quantum crypto. For sure, a very important, let's say, attack that we need to consider also now is the store now, decrypt later. That means that data encrypted today can be decrypted by a quantum computer in the future. So also the process of transition must consider different priorities. For sure, key agreement. That is the protocol at the core of exchanging a keys for then encrypt the information must be prioritized over signature, because a cryptographically relevant quantum computer will be able to forge a signature only when these stable condition and will be reached. So it's also important to consider when you talk about transition what is important at the moment, for sure key agreement and then signature. let's see what are the implications on the centralized identity. We know that quantum computer treated traditional asymmetric cryptography mainly through the Shor algorithm for factoring integer and solving discrete logarithms, and the Groover search that speed up search in unstructured data. The main cryptographic algorithms in verifiable credentials are for sure signature, so verifiable credentials are vulnerable to Shor's algorithms, but not to store now the crypt ladder attack. In the sense, and this is important because it's one of our assumptions, that key agreement for encryption is not involved in the interaction among issuer, holder, and verifier. We can say it better. Is of course involved, but at TLS layer. So verifiable credentials that are exchanged over TLS secure channel are not vulnerable to store now, decrypt later attack. So the transition of this decentralized identity, in particular verifiable credential and presentation, to post-quantum crypto means switching from traditional post-quantum identity keeper generation and digital signature. Now, in this first year of the project, we follow two different approaches. The first one is a pure post-quantum approach. Of course, we are talking about plain text VC, so we are not talking about zero-knowledge verifiable credential, and also a post-quantum traditional hybrid approach. Let's see what we did in for the case of post-quantum poor approach. As we said, this transition involved the selection of the more appropriate post-quantum signature algorithm to use in VC and VP. And we also have another assumption that in a target web scenario where, let's say, a subject, an holder, use the verifiable credential to access some web resource, we request access to a verifier with a higher frequency than the frequency with which he requests the issuance of a verifiable credential to the issuer. This is an important assumption because this help us to define four important requirements in order of priority. So, given a security level that you know goes from 1 to 5, the requirements in our specific project was to have the signature verification time as short as possible, to increase the number of holder a verifier can authenticate in a unit of time, also because, as you all know, a verifier must verify two signatures on the VP. The signature generation time must be as short as possible to increase the number of verifiable credentials an issuer can issue and to decrease the time an holder spends in preparing his verifiable presentation before contacting the verifier. The signature size should be as small as possible to reduce the overall size of credential and presentation. And fourth, the public key size should be as small as possible to reduce the size of the DID document and the DID in case of the DLT-less method, like, for example, DID JVK or DID key. So these are our requirements in order of priority. And so to take a proper selection and test the performance of a VC system using post-quantum signature, we made several tests of the libOQS library. And so for the different algorithms, we considered only the four already selected by NIST. Of course, also Edward has a traditional algorithm, then Falcon, SLH DSA, and MLS DSA, and Falcon, of course. We, for each security level, evaluate the public key sites, the signature sites, the key per generation time, the signature generation, and the signature verification. Here, in order of priority, I'm, as discussed before, I sign again signature verification, generation, signature sites, and public key sites in order of priority, and analyzing the numbers in accordance to the requirements, the selection is pretty simple. Just an information, we decided to avoid considering Falcon, even if we evaluated the performance of this algorithm, because NIST has delayed the first draft of the standard, essentially because they are waiting for let's say structure possible, at least this is what we know, possible suggestion for a secure implementation due to the fact that those kind of algorithms are prone to time and attack. So we decided to evaluate, but not considering for selection at this stage of the project, and so applying and analyzing this number, applying the requirements, we selected MLDSA in the three different security level. In particular, MLDSA 44, security level 2, that means the security is equivalent to SHA-3 256 collision search, MLDSA 65, security level 3, equivalent to AES 192 key search, and security level number 5, equivalent to AES 256 key search. Now, I will present at the end the performance of a system, a verifiable credential system, they use this approach and those algorithms. Let me now go through the, let's say, the design of a verifiable credential system that use a post-quantum traditional hybrid approach, again with plain text verifiable credential. So let's see what are the reasons behind this approach. For sure, we know that all algorithms selected by NIST undergone a rigorous review. Cryptographers are pretty confident in the assumption, mathematical assumption behind those algorithms. But we know that they are not as mature as the traditional algorithm, essentially because we are using traditional algorithms since here, and this is not true for post-quantum algorithms. So, what is an hybrid scheme? An hybrid scheme essentially combines both a post-quantum and traditional signature in a single scheme. And the scheme is considered secure as long as the security of one of the algorithms hold. If we apply this to authentication, authentication is essentially achieved by the hybrid signature, provided that at least one of the signature algorithms is secure. This means that an adversary must violate both signature to forge the credential, so the identity of the other. Why so post-quantum traditional hybrid in verifiable credential? There are several ideas. In our opinion, the main reason is that applying an hybrid scheme, if a post-quantum assumption is found to be flawed in the near future or in the next year, the composition of the signature algorithm ensure that the scheme is secure at least as the traditional signature algorithm. And in this period in which, for sure, we are, let's say, vulnerable to store now the crypt ledger, not for verifiable credential, but for sure for TLS traffic. And a cryptographically relevant quantum computer is not yet available. In this period, this is the main reason for which we selected this post-quantum traditional hybrid. So, not in particular for backward compatibility, but to be safe in case one of the assumptions behind the post-quantum algorithms is, let's say, is considered flawed in the next period. There are several ways to combine the algorithms. The idea is to, let's say, combine post-quantum traditional signature using, at least in our design, using the concatenation combiner to achieve the weak non-separability property. In general, the non-separability property define, let's say, for hybrid signature, prevent an attacker from removing the signature generated by the secure algorithm, forcing the verifier to rely on the other, essentially protect from the stripping attack. The weak non-separability property imply that an adversary cannot remove one of the signature without the verifier noticing. So we are, let's say, an adversary can remove it, but when another presents a presentation with such signatures, for sure the verifier will notice the attack. How? Essentially with an artifact that is the evidence of the will of issuer and holder to hybridize their signature. And where we place this artifact, because it can be placed in different, let's say, building block of the system, we decided to use it at protocol level. In particular, within the EDI document. I will present in the next meeting, is something that is in line also with the draft that is now under discussion in ETF, in particular LAMP's working group, where such a kind of hybrid scheme, in particular the concatenation combiner and weak non-separability property, is achieved in a completely different way, but let's say the philosophy of the approach are more or less the same. How we define the artifact? Essentially, we design a new object. We call it composite JVK, in which there are the post-quantum public keys as a JSON web key, the traditional public key as, again, a JSON web key, and an algorithm ID that is a string that report the name of the post-quantum and traditional hybrid that we combine in this particular object. Given this object, the signature and verification works like here in this slide. Essentially, the hybrid signature is the concatenation of the post-quantum signature and the traditional signature, where the post-quantum signature made with the private post-quantum key with the selected post-quantum algorithm, where the object identifier is concatenated to the message. A signature on the concatenation of message and their encoding of the object ID. The same also for the traditional signature where the traditional private key is used. Of course, there are different opinions in pre-hashing or not pre-hashing. Here in this slide you see the pre-hashing solution, but of course we are going to look at the community to see what will be the final decision on this particular matter. Now, to have the weak non-separability properties and so being protected by the stripping attack, a verifier that receives a verifiable presentation pointing to a DAD document that contain the composite JVK object, of course, have to verify both the signature. If one is missing or one of the two fail, of course, the verifier has to reject completely the presentation, the verifiable presentation. What we did also, of course, as you know, today DLT are not quantum secure. So in this particular period of time during the Qubit project, we decided to use a sort of DID key method. In particular, we designed the DID composite JVK method that is really similar to DID JVK, in which the DID, of course, contain the composite JVK object that I presented before. You will have these slides and here the link to the specification, open source. We are really very interested in receiving review comments and possible improvements, not only of these of the DID method, but also in designing the composite JVK method. Now, we arrived to the selection of the algorithm, so which algorithm we have to combine. For sure, the requirements are still the same as the one I presented before for the post-quantum pure approach. They apply also in this case, and so in this first round of work, we decided to combine DSA44 with the Edward and DSA65 again with the Edwards. So these are the two selection of algorithms for signing with a post-quantum traditional hybrid approach, VC and VP. We implemented these two approaches within an existing identity framework. For several reasons, we selected the IOTA identity framework. All the implementation is open source and here available for anyone that want to play with it, provide, again, suggestion, review, whatever is there, ready for you to play. Essentially, with a cryptographic agile approach, we plugged LibOQS and the post-quantum signature algorithm implementation within the framework, such that in preparing the ID document and verifiable credential, the user can select the algorithms or the combination of the algorithms of their choice. Of course, this required several modifications to the main framework. For example, the JSON Web Algorithms and Serialization for dealing with this new algorithm in addition to the traditional one, the DSA. In my opinion, we reach a good level of crypto agility in the sense that any new algorithms that will be available through the LibOQS in the next future can be really plugged within the framework without so much work. And now we arrive toward the end, in which we evaluate the performance of the framework in terms of course, for different algorithms. So, with the traditional one, with the three choices for the pure post-quantum approach and the two hybrid approaches. Evaluating the DAD document sites, the AD create that was, let's say, in terms of results, coherent with key pair generation time that we measure before analyzing and evaluating the library, only the LibOQS library. Of course, the verifiable credential sites, JWT encoded, VP sites, JWT encoded, VC generation time and verification, generation and verification of verifiable presentation. The good news was that all these performance metric were coherent with the measure that we made before only on the LibOQS library, of course. For example, the sites of VC and VP is coherent with the sites of the post-quantum signature. This is also true for hybrid approaches, because the size of the Edward signature is very small, and the generation and verification timing are again coherent with signature generation time and signature verification time. There is a typo here, sorry for that. If we look at the, again, in order of priority, of the requirement that we set at the beginning, we look at the verifiable presentation, for example, verify. Of course, the time for verification of a VP with the Edward algorithms is quite small, 223 microseconds. This increase a bit with the pure post-quantum approach, so from 400 microseconds to 954 microseconds with security level 5, so increase with the security level. What is nice is that the time for verifying a verifiable presentation with the post-quantum traditional approach are more or less equal to the sum of the time for verifying a traditional and a post-quantum post-quantum signature. So let me put it in this way. The overhead of adding the traditional algorithm in the post-quantum traditional hybrid scheme is quite small. Now, to conclude, in this first year of the project, we deal with the transition of credential to PQC using only NIST-selected algorithms. And we made a practical implementation of this framework. Of course, we will evaluate the future selection to see if, given the same requirements, we have to change the algorithms or to combine differently the algorithms in the post-quantum traditional hybrid approach. For the PQT approach, we define this new composite JWK object as, let's say, as the artifact to achieve weak non-separability, so to be protected by stripping attack. PQT hybrid performance are, and that's for us very important, comparable to post-quantum performance while ensuring today level of security in case ML DSA, in general lattice-based algorithms, are found to be theoretically flawed in the future. And this concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Great, thanks a lot. Thanks for that very detailed presentation. Harrison, see you on the queue.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. This is a great presentation. So first of all, if you don't mind, can you share this your presentation with the public list, or you can just email it to me and I can share it on your behalf?
For sure.
Great. Now, just a clarification question. So when we're doing the hybrid approach with post-quantum plus traditional, performance basically linear? In other words, is the, let's say, the generation speed of the hybrid approach, is it just the generation speed for the post-quantum plus the generation speed, key generation speed for the traditional? Because in your last slide, when you're talking about the performance are comparable between the hybrid and post-quantum, I took it as an assumption that the generation or the performance for the traditional is negligible. That's why it's comparable. Is that?
Yeah. Yes.
I think we all got kicked out.
Yeah. It's of jitsi. But anyway, I just want to clarify whether it's true. How does the kind of the performance work? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We implemented those schema in the framework. Then we made several more than 100,000 experiments not on the LiboQS library, but on top of the IOTA identity framework, patched with these two approaches. So we really measure the time for generating an overall VC or an overall VP, verifying completely, validate and verifying the verifiable presentation and credential. And for example, for the ID, the time for creating the overall DID. In this particular case, we neglect the delay of writing or anchoring the document to the Tangle in this particular implementation. But we move from evaluating the LiboQS library that only implement signature algorithms to evaluate the performance of the framework.
Got it. So just to clarify, does the hybrid approach performance basically is the sum of the post-quantum performance plus the traditional cryptography performance? Is that basically linear?
Yeah.
Or no? Okay, got it. Thank you.
And we think that since the hybrid approach provides great benefit also in terms of security, in particular, because protect us from possible flaw, theoretical flaw in post-quantum algorithms, is nice to have. So we don't see a measure. If we accept the performance of post-quantum, we can for sure accept this epsilon overhead introduced by combining also a traditional algorithms. That's the idea.
Got it. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Greg?
I was going to ask, you're using JWT, but it doesn't seem like there's anything that requires JWT. Here you could just directly use the data integrity approach for doing these and add a crypto suite like we've done with EDDSA and ECDSA and the BBS type stuff. Is there any particular reason to use JWT here?
You are perfectly right, essentially because we decided to use the identity, the Yacht Identity Framework that is fully based on JWT. That's the only reason. Okay. There is no further reason. Okay. Of course, we can use a different coding.
Great. Thanks, Greg. I put myself on the queue to just follow up on what Greg said. I don't know if you're aware, Andrea, but there is a signature suite, data integrity crypto suite being developed. So I don't know what the status is. It's kind of like stayed the same for a while, but it looks at a data integrity suite for the MLDSA algorithm. So, you know, maybe you could explore adding your approach into here as a different type, because it's all experimental, right? At least at the moment, maybe at some point it would move out of this crypto suite into his own space. So I dropped the link, but maybe I dropped the repo as well if you're interested.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I agree, it would be great to see it in data integrity as well.
Yeah. If I may, if we have some more minutes, I just would like to give you, let me hide two more slides, because I would like to give you, a preview of another important stream of work that we are doing in the QB project. Let me share the screen. That also consider a zero knowledge verifiable credential. We have for sure, a traditional implementation of zero knowledge verifiable credential with selective disclosure based on BBS plus. For doing that, we implemented the JSON proof token draft from ETF, essentially because this format support selective disclosure in of the holder toward the verifier. We implemented this BBS draft, the last one in this library that is called ZetaCryptium. Up to date, it seems to us that three real SSI framework are using our library. So they use ZetaCryptium. And this is the, the traditional zero knowledge approach to verifiable credential. What we are doing, and I really would like to listen to the community for possible suggestion improvement. What we are doing also in Qubip is implementing a post-quantum zero knowledge verifiable credential system with selective disclosure based on this very, very, very recent framework for practical anonymous credential from Lattice. This is a very risky activity. We made a very first implementation of this this schema. It's working. Let's say, from the functional point of view, it's working. So it is, from the functional point of view, comparable to our previous traditional implementation based on BBS plus. Of course, at the moment, the performance is not so well, but we are working on optimizing the code. What we would like to do in the next months is to publish also this repository in open source and ask, anybody in the world that want to help us to make and help us in optimizing code. In both cases, we also had already designed and implemented an efficient privacy preserving and quantum resistant revocation scheme that doesn't use any asymmetric crypto and so can be used without any problem with both post-quantum and traditional zero-knowledge verifiable credential. I don't have at the moment any performance results. We simply reached the first implementation, and that will be something that we want to disclose to the public for, again, receiving feedback. I'm finished. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks. That sounds really interesting. I look forward to seeing that repo. Greg, do you have a comment?
Two different items. You brought up VBS, which is, of course, very interesting to us working on VBS. But there's you also brought up privacy-preserving post-quantum, and there was a more recent paper from 2024 that I put in the chat that I've been trying to follow because, yeah, they made sure they had unlinkability and selective disclosure. The only thing I was going to try and get in touch with the author soon is we'd like to see the blind. In addition, they are also talking about adding blind, but we want to see pseudonyms added in because that ended up being the total suite of what a good anonymous credential seemed to need it, right? So very interested. I put the link to this paper I've started studying in here, but very interested in seeing the progress along those lines too. Yeah. I noticed they have a open source repo and I was able to get their code to run, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
Great, thanks, Kirk. Any more comments from anyone? Not seeing anyone on the queue. I guess I have a question. What's the best way for people to reach you, Andrea, and try and get involved with the work?
If you go to, let me write it in the chat, cyberlinks on GitHub, qbip.au is the website of our project. What else? My email address.
Great, thank you. Not seeing anyone else on the queue. Do you have any final comments, Andrea, before we close? Okay, not hearing anything, Andrea. So
no.
Great, perfect. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. I didn't realize this was your first time, so welcome to the CCG. Really appreciate you taking the time to present your work.
Thank you. I'll try to be involved as much as possible.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. Have a great week. See you later.
Thank you.